Chapter 18. It was an impressive sight, looking at all five corpses lying in a heaped pile in the center of the catacombs. Unfortunately, we couldn't leave them around to be found. The best way for us to properly dispose of the evidence was to incinerate each and every one of them.
"Ash, tear the elves to shreds. I'll handle the priest,"
I ordered with a wicked grin. Ash didn't need to say anything in response. She already had a high elf in her hands, and the sheer excitement of tearing them limb from limb could be felt around the entire area. I caught sight of Sevelia as my demon lover began to rip the corpses into smaller pieces, and I was pleased to see she wasn't retching like most mortals would. Sevelia's face lit up, and her amber eyes shone with wonder and disbelief, almost like she hadn't expected Ash to have completed the task so easily.
"Can I have a go?"
the witch asked.
"Of course,"
Ash smiled wildly.
"Take the sickle and use that to hack through the bones."
As I worked on dismembering the priest, the women came together as a team to deal with the elves. Sevelia took great pride in forcing the sickle through the thick tissue and bones of the elves, whereas Ash just used her hands to rip them all apart.
"It's been so long since I last had the chance to really kill someone,"
Sevelia said as she wiped some black blood off her red dress.
"I've had to be on my best behavior ever since the priest brought me to the estate."
Ash and I let out loud laughs. I could already tell it was going to be a lot of fun having Sevelia on our team.
"Well, you no longer have to be on your best behavior. In fact, Atticus prefers you don't. Is that true, sir?"
The witch gave me a seductive wink. "You should already know the answer to that," I responded. The three of us continued to laugh and cheer as the dismembered pile grew larger and larger, and it wasn't long before all the corpses had been dealt with, and I just had to burn them to a crisp. I found it much easier to control the infernal blaze after a few days, and particularly after the fight with the priest. I no longer had to think about what I was doing, because the flames came easily, and I allowed them to grow just by tapping into the energy in my core, like I always did with my infernal tempest. I produced a fireball in each palm, threw them into the pile of limbs, and then placed my heated hands in various sections to allow the fire to grow. Before too long, the tunnels were full of firelight, dark smoke, and the harsh scent of burning flesh. Anyone who walked past now would know something was going on inside the catacombs. But I'd happily add others into the flames if they tried to foil our plans.
"So, what do we do now?"
Sevelia looked around the tunnels. "We need to get into the estate," I said without hesitation. "I've given this fucker far too much of my money, and I plan on taking it all back, and then some." It wasn't going to be long before people found out about the priest's sudden disappearance, and when that happened, we couldn't be anywhere near the estate, or even Ravenshade for that matter. If I wanted to get my earnings back, we had to do it now.
"I love sneaking into buildings,"
Ash let out a dreamy sigh. "We won't be sneaking in anywhere," I grinned. "We'll walk straight through those main doors like we own the place. The carriage driver is still under Sevelia's enchantment, so as long as the guards believe the priest is inside, they should allow us to enter without an issue."
"Does anyone else live in the building?" "No, not at this time. The priest has staff who work for him, but they all live near the estate and usually leave before I go to Pixie Lane."
"Had staff," I corrected the witch. "The priest no longer has anything to his name, let alone staff and slaves." Ash let out another excited laugh, and we all felt the same satisfaction. The priest had finally died, and his bones were fried to a crisp. I knew it wouldn't be long before the church found another holy fucker to take his place, because their rankings were so easy to replace, but as long as the next priest wasn't as dirty and creepy as the last, then we shouldn't have an issue with him. And all the undesirables who'd been under the dead priest's thumb would be free from here on out.
"Oh, I can't forget this."
Ash crouched down beside one wall and held up the priest's sword.
"This is going to look so good next to my sapphire sword."
"Oh, and you'll look incredible wielding them both," I replied with a wink.
We waited until the fire died down, and then we scattered the ashes with our feet before we left the catacombs. There wasn't much we could do with the blood-soaked ground, but a heavy rainfall should sort that out. Plus, finding blood on the ground wasn't an uncommon thing in Rengfree. As long as the residents didn't instantly think of us, or who the blood belonged to, then I didn't see the need to bother about it. The carriage sat in the street where we'd left it, and the driver's eyes were still glassed over from Sevilia's enchantment. The three of us all climbed into the back and closed the door behind us. The delectable, evil scent of the priest coated every piece of wood, and my mouth salivated automatically. It felt incredible to sit around the intense smell, especially as I had just slaughtered the owner of it.
"Take us to the stable yard,"
Sevilia ordered the driver through a small hatch in the wood.
"Of course, my lady,"
the driver said in a monotone.
"You will wait outside until we return. Do not go anywhere."
I'd never been in a carriage before, but the feeling as it raced through the streets was exactly as I'd expected. We were constantly jostled around from left to right, and if the wheels hit a pothole or a crack in the cobblestones, the whole vehicle would lurch forward and bounce manically. I couldn't understand why anyone would choose this mode of transportation when running was so much easier, but I knew some people, the priest, for example, were lazy fucks who wouldn't lift a finger if it was an inconvenience to them. On the other hand, with Ash and Sevilia seated across from me, I had the delicious view of their corseted breasts jiggling non-stop throughout the whole ride, so there was at least one perk.
"We're here,"
Sevilia whispered as the horses began to slow down again. I couldn't tell where we were, what with the curtains drawn over the windows, so I was glad Sevilia knew Ravenshade like the back of her hand. I heard the painful creaks of the iron gates as the guards allowed the priest's carriage through, and then the sharp noise of the stones as the wooden wheels ran over them. The carriage rolled to one side slightly as it took a corner, and then the horses came to a halt. Sevilia lifted one corner of a curtain and peeked outside to make sure the coast was clear, and the smile on her face told me the estate was ours to devour.
"Let's go,"
the witch ordered with a flick of her hand.
"I'll lead you to his office."
"As long as that's where the pieces are stored," I said with a pointed look.
"Atticus, I don't need to take you to a specific room to find the pieces."
Sevilia smirked. I wasn't sure what she meant by that at first, but I instantly understood as soon as I stepped down from the rickety carriage. The stable yard was at the back of the building, which made it easier for us to slip into the house undetected, but even the damn horses lived in a better place than Sevilia did. The wooden beams of the stables were painted in gold, and velvet drapes were tacked to the inside walls. I doubted a fucking animal needed gold and velvet drapes, but that must have been the priest's way of showing off the money he had to spare. The back door of the house wasn't anything special, but it turned out the doors hid the real beauty from sight. Everything about the interior of the house screamed filthy rich. The back doors opened into the grand hallways that had various doors leading off on each side. All of the doors were made from dark oak wood, and the majority of them had tiles attached to the front to explain which room was which. I noticed a washroom, a kitchen, a living quarters, and a servant's quarters. The priest had gold pillars from floor to ceiling, ruby red carpet underfoot, and there was a spiral staircase in the center of the house, which had shiny black beams and solid gold handrails. Large oil paintings were hooked on each wall, and some of them held portraits of tubby men and women with large breasts. Some of the people in the paintings were surrounded by food, whereas others were sitting in large chairs, and it looked as if they were staring off into the distance. I couldn't understand what the priest wanted with portraits like that, but most of the decisions these mortals made confused me. I listened out for any additional noises, but the only thing I could hear were the spare horses moving around in their stables outside, which told me the house was empty. Just like Sevilia had said. She took us up the spiral staircase and into the first room on the left, which had been labeled office.
The second floor was just like the hallway below, and the same details had been copied and placed on the walls, while the ruby-red carpet stretched onward down the corridor. The house reminded me of something, but I couldn't work out what it was. A few pieces of information were vivid in my mind, but that was about as far as I got. I thought of a grand palace, completely surrounded by gates and guards in smart uniforms, and a powerful family lived inside. I didn't think I knew this family personally, but from what my mind was telling me, every person on the surface world knew of them. I didn't have a name or a reason for the memories, and it angered me slightly that something so vivid felt so distant in my head.
Atticus.
Sevelia broke me from my thoughts. I shook my head lightly to clear my mind, and then looked over at the Red Witch. She stood beside another door behind the priest's oak desk.
"This is where you want to look,"
she said. Sevelia must have noticed the confusion on my face. I barely looked around the office and headed straight for the second door. If that room was where I needed to be, then the other rooms around it weren't of any interest to me. It wasn't until I reached the second door that I noticed it had a lock on it. But a quick bash with my shoulder was enough for the door to burst open, and the metal lock fell to the carpeted floor with a dull clang. The new room was completely different from the rest of the house. Instead of the grand artwork and ruby-red carpet, this room felt cold, with bare walls and wooden floorboards. A single lantern sat on the side in front of the window, but that was the only source of light, unlike the additional rooms, which had a variety of lanterns placed all around them. Thankfully, I didn't need the light source in order to tell me what was inside. My enhanced sight caught onto the chests of pieces, and an evil smile curled across my lips. Perfect. There were 5 chests in total, and each one was full to the brim of shiny gold pieces. There had to have been thousands in one chest alone, and I wondered if other rooms in the house held more of the same. Unfortunately, we couldn't take it all, but as long as I took my share, that's all that mattered to me. Then, an idea came to my mind as I pulled a chest back into the office. I doubted any more than 3 chests were going to fit into the carriage, but there were other ways for us to transport some money.
"Ash, Sevelia, search for sacks for us to fill,"
I ordered, and then began to move another 2 chests from the back of the room. My women darted around and opened every door, cupboard, and drawer they came across. The office was a mess of papers, ancient chairs, and portraits on the wall, and it looked even worse once my women had finished raking through it all.
"Here,"
Ash called out and threw a burlap sack in my direction.
"I found this, too,"
Sevelia said seconds later. She had a velvet coin bag in hand, somewhat like the one she used to take to Pixie Lane with her. I grabbed the sack and the velvet bag and threw in handfuls of pieces. The material bulged at the sides, and I could barely get the bags closed with the amount of pieces I'd shoved inside, but it did the job perfectly. We hadn't been in the house for long, but I didn't want anyone to come inside and catch us in the act. The murders in the catacombs were easy to hide and disguise, but a murder in the estate would be harder for us to cover up. Sevelia was certain no one else entered the building, apart from the priest, after the staff had left. But that could easily change, especially if the guards smelled something suspicious. The added tension brought some excitement into the mission, and the fear that we could have been caught at any moment.
"Right, let's go," I told the women.
I took 2 chests, Ash took another, and Sevelia took the bulging bags. Then the 3 of us hurried back down the stairs and out the back doors where the carriage remained.
"Where are we going? Just so I can tell the driver."
"I don't know yet,"
I shrugged.
"Ask him to head to the shadow quarters, and I can decide on the way."
"Of course,"
she nodded. Ash and I loaded the carriage with the 3 chests, and although it was a struggle to fit them all inside, along with the loaded sacks, there was just enough room left over for the 3 of us to sit around them. Once Sevelia had dealt with the enchanted driver, she jumped into the back with us, and the horses began to trot almost immediately.
The driver often leaves again once the priest has been dropped off. The guards should have no reason to stop and ask what he's up to.
The stones rattled under the wheels as we headed back around the priest's estate house, and then I felt the horses slow down as we reached the black gates. The iron exit squeaked open, but the carriage was still in motion.
"Have a good evening," one guard muttered in a gruff voice.
"You too,"
the driver replied monosyllabically. I heard the deep, relieved breath that Sevilia let out as the horses began to trot again. She was officially free from that place. The souls of her family were safe in the amulet, and the priest was nothing but a scattering of ash in the catacombs.
"So, where should we go first?"
Ash asked once we were free from the estate.
"Carriages don't have access to the Grimway, and we can't walk to the manor house with three extremely fancy-looking chests of pieces in hand."
Ash made a good point. Although our Grimway neighbors appeared to be on our side, and they were thankful for our help with the demon, I couldn't assume all of them were allies, especially if a shitload of money was involved. We had to take the money to a safe place until we worked out what to do with it all. I briefly thought about visiting the troll's shack and storing it all there, but anyone could break down the doors, and other trolls from the group I'd slaughtered could show up to use the shack for its intended purposes. Then we'd have to battle the fucking beasts again in order to get the money back, and although that did sound like an amusing fight to get caught up in, I couldn't risk anyone reporting they'd seen chests like these laying around once the priest's death was discovered. I needed someone who I could trust, but also someone who didn't live too far off from the Grimway. And that was when I knew exactly who to go to. We had a good group of allies in the slums, and I knew they'd help us in a time of need, especially after we'd done the same for them before.
"Tell the driver to go to the slums," I told Sevilia.
"Yes, my lord,"
the Red Witch smiled. Sevilia scrambled onto her knees, shoved back the wooden hatch, and repeated my words to the enchanted driver. He grunted a response and made the horses change direction without question.
"Who are we going to see?"
Ash asked with a smirk.
"The Tabaxi,"
I grinned. The Tabaxi lived in a hut surrounded by some trees just at the edge of the slums, on the opposite side of where the werewolves were kept in line. He was a tired old feline humanoid who stayed in his hut and never caused anyone trouble, but his hatred toward the incubi made him the perfect person to have on our side. The incubi had banished the Tabaxi to the slums, regardless of the fact that his breed used to rule the Shadow Quarters before the incubi came into power. The Catman now despised them to his very core, and even went so far as to try and convince Ash and I to kill the assholes off. Although our current mission wasn't to do with the incubi, if I offered him a few pieces for his help, then I was sure he'd do it without thinking twice. There was a kobold who lived in the center of the slums, and I also considered his help briefly, but his location and the fact that he had neighbors on either side would make it harder to sneak the chests into his home without others seeing and becoming suspicious. The slums were cloaked in darkness when we arrived, but the driver appeared to have no trouble finding his way toward the Tabaxi's hut while I murmured directions to the Red Witch. She twitched her hand a couple times to direct him accordingly, and a small candle in the window told me the Tabaxi was still awake when we arrived. A few of the residents who'd still been out and about quickly scarpered into their homes when they noticed the carriage arriving. This area had a problem with the guards raiding their homes, so it was only natural that they'd fear the sight of a carriage this expensive.
"Stay here," I said to the women.
I jumped from the carriage when we reached the hut and leaped up the couple of steps that led to the main door. I knocked on the wood, and a moment later, the door swung open to reveal the slender Tabaxi. His long, speckled tail swooped in the air behind him, and he bowed his head slightly so as to not hit his head off the roof. The Tabaxi was at least 7 feet tall, with yellow fur and brown spots, but the fur on his chin had started to gray with age. His eyes widened when he noticed me standing in front of him, and his spiked ears twitched slightly.
"Good evening, Atticus,"
he greeted me warmly, although I could tell he was unsure as to why I was there.
"Good evening,"
I replied in the same tone.
I was wondering if you could help us with something. At this time of night, it must be something serious if it cannot wait until morning.
Follow me, I said with a wave of my hand.
The tabaxi hesitated for a second, but then he went along with my command and stepped out into the darkness behind me. I wondered what he must have thought when he noticed the priest's carriage parked in front of his hut, but if he was afraid at all, then he played it off very well, because I didn't notice even a waft of fear coming from him. Ash and Sevelia left the carriage once I rapped on the door, and both women smiled sweetly at the tabaxi, although Ash had more of a mischievous look on her face. Then the deadly beauties stepped aside to reveal what we had hidden in there, and the tabaxi began to roar with laughter as he realized what we'd done. The catman held one large paw on his stomach, and he arched his back as he continued to laugh for a full minute.
Oh, Atticus, I should have known you'd reach the church at some point.
News will soon spread through Rangfree when they notice something is off, but I need you to keep your mouth shut, I said with a pointed look.
Ugh, you know I don't dare speak to the church at the risk I'd end up getting myself killed.
I need you to hold something for us, at least until we can find a better place to store it.
I'll look after this for you, he said after a minute of staring.
Thank you. Of course I will pay you for your assistance. The tabaxi turned to look at me and placed a paw on my shoulder, and he looked me briefly in the eye.
I do not need your money. I imagine you've risked a lot to get all of this, and it wouldn't be right for me to then take any of it from you.
What he didn't know was how fun and easy it had been to collect this money, and that I'd do it all over again in a heartbeat if I had to.
I don't know how long I need you to store this, but I'll be sure to return as soon as possible to collect it, and I insist on paying you for your help, regardless of what you say.
Myself, the tabaxi, and Ash each took one chest from the carriage, and Sevelia grabbed the bags. We carried them into the hut and placed them in an area at the back of the circular building. According to what the tabaxi had told us, he seldom received any visitors, but the back of the hut was well shadowed, and no one was going to notice the priest's chests if they came inside. That reassured me our bounty was safe, and I'd made the right choice by bringing them here.
Thank you again, I said as we left the hut. It's good to know we can trust some people around here. You have my word, the tabaxi replied with one paw on his chest. This district can be difficult, but with the right people on our side, we all find a way to succeed.
With a faint smile and a small wave, the tabaxi closed the door, and the candlelight was blown out a short second later.
Now we just need to deal with this poor guy,
Ash snickered and pointed toward the carriage and the driver.
Leave that up to me,
Sevelia grinned. Ash and I shared the same impressed look as we watched the witch saunter up toward the driver. Her eyes turned red, and a red mist formed between her hands. Her lips moved like she was saying or chanting something, but it was too quiet for us to hear. All I saw was the driver nod his head, and then he flicked the reins, and the horses trotted away.
What was that?
I changed the enchantment,
Sevelia shrugged.
Changed it how? Oh, I ordered him to drive back to the estate and deal with the horses. His enchantment will wear off in an hour, and the only thing he'll remember is he took the priest to the catacombs and brought him back to the estate again. You're sexy when you're bending others to your will.
Ash sighed as she reached out to toy with one of the Red Witch's dark purple tendrils.
She certainly is, I murmured, and as I admired the two women side by side, my mind instantly conjured up all kinds of sinful thoughts.
Thoughts that I no longer had to wait to act upon. Had we been in the manor, I would have already taken the Red Witch against the wall and ordered Ash to join in. But it was only a short walk to get us there from here. My cock twitched in my pants.
Let's go home, I said firmly.
What about the werewolves? Their house is just there. We need to be sure we can trust their words,
Ash replied for me.
If we free them right this moment, who knows what they'll do in the night?
Exactly, I nodded. We'll cut off their enchantments tomorrow,
But when that happens, I cannot let you leave my sight, Savilia.
I won't leave your sight,
she repeated with a slightly seductive smile. Good, I winked. I'm sure we can find some things to do in that time.
But only if the pretty demon joins us?
Savilia peered over at Ash quickly.
Like I'd miss out on that.
The three of us chuckled as we hurried through the slums and toward the entrance to the Grimway. The wavering music could be heard from the top of the grassy hill, and a few tinsel fairies flew above the trees as they drunkenly giggled their asses off. We slowed our pace to a gentle walk as we reached the fire beacons, and I smirked with pride as I entered our village with the witch on one arm and my demon huntress on the other. I felt like a king already with my women attached to me, but the sight of the two women seemed to stir up some attention from the residents in the lanes. Some of them seemed shocked to see Savilia with us, almost like they'd recognized her from Pixie Lane, but even if they did know the Red Witch, they nodded their heads respectfully at Ash and I, and allowed us to walk through without an issue.
You can walk through here so freely,
Savilia whispered as we entered the denser trees near our manor house.
That's the good thing about the Grimway. We don't have a church or the fucking humans to cause any problems. Everyone here feels equal in some way, even if there is some tension between certain beasts.
But don't get used to it. I don't plan for us to be here much longer. As soon as we could get that vessel to another island, we'd officially be free. We'd leave all these motherfuckers behind, bring all our riches with us, and start fresh on a brand new island. Ash chuckled beside me like she was thinking the same as me, and I had a greedy grin on my face as I led my women through the trees in the direction of the manor. With all the excitement of murdering the priest and the high elves, I'd forgotten Bennett had a major sale to manage this evening. But as we neared the manor house, I realized I had even more riches coming to me this evening, on top of what we'd just stolen from the priest. That realization caused me to grin even harder, and images of my skull throne came to mind. At this rate, it wasn't going to be long before I had that available to me, and all my pieces and magical stones would be scattered before me, along with my gorgeous and murderous women. But my excitement quickly came to an end as we reached the clearing around my home. Something didn't feel right, and anger prickled underneath my skin. Our middleman, Bennett, ran from the entrance to meet us, and his breathing was labored while beads of sweat rolled down his flushed cheeks. I should have fucking known something would go wrong when I wasn't there.
Sir, I'm so sorry.
What the fuck happened? I demanded in a stern tone, and smoke already began to pour from my mouth.
I'm sorry, sir, I tried my best. The orbs are safe, though.
Tell me what the fuck is going on before I have to force it from you, I ordered. The heat prickled my hands, and fireballs were seconds away from forming. If someone had fucked with my business again, then I wouldn't hesitate to kill everyone on Rang Free before I found the bastard responsible.
It was the incubi,
Bennett stuttered and held his shaking hands against his chest.
They weren't after the orbs, they were after the imps.
The imps?
Sir,
Bennett took a deep breath.
The incubi have them.